We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to episode 583 of the Barcelona Podcast, brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Dan Hilton. He's Frances Tomás. And this, if you're watching on YouTube or something, you could see that he's in the vertical on a phone. I am fully with more of a beard than you've ever seen and a hat. And it just, there's an emergency part of all of this going on if you're watching on YouTube. But if you're listening, you're also going to hear, yeah, Frances is on a phone, but we had to get something out. I was planning after PSG and Real Madrid, as I had said, an emotional time of the year. A lot of people wind up tuning out until next season. So I started to do my transfer target homework and trying to start to think about next year's project while just going through the motions a little bit with the final match reviews and winding it down. But now we've got Xavi likely to stay and everything changed last night. So trying to figure it all out and sort through it, Frances has joined me and I do have my Hola Culé shirt on. So Frances, I'll let you do the honors.
Hola Culés. Hola Dan, Daniel, amiguito. I'm really happy to be in the podcast again. I'm in the middle of moving. I'm actually in my daughter's room. So you may see Stitch and Lilo and all sorts of princesses behind. Unfortunately, we're here to talk about something that needed to get out, something that I'm assuming most people will be happy with, but I think there's going to be a large portion of people who will be disappointed. So here to help.
Well, yeah, Laporta and Xavi met last night at Laporta's house. Laporta basically said, to your point, Xavi, you're the only princess I want until 2025, and yep, that you know others. So it was always that Xavi was likely to leave, but apparently this meeting changed everything. And Laporta said, this is the official statement, that there was no other choice. Yet Hansi Flick's camp said that there was something. But what we do know is that there really truly was no other better choice. That's why in the last 3 weeks now, I've been saying, I get the sense that it is Rafa Márquez or nobody. And so I think a lot of Culés now, the question they're being asked is, would it have been Xavi or if it was Rafa Márquez? And are those the only two options you had if Flick was too expensive? That's, it's also like everything of that could be positive about this move, about how, as I said, like 2025 seems to be the year that they return to the Camp Nou late in 2025, 26. Yeah. And they return to the Camp Nou and the money that hasn't been there for the last 4 or 5 seasons, that might be the year where they finally can spend. And this coming season, unfortunately, with Kylian Mbappe arriving in the capital, just feels like almost a continuation of this season. And this final season, you just have to get through it. You take your lumps and you try to build your project in anticipation of that big 2025-2026 season, where also Juan Laporta, his mandate is up and he's going to have to, again, this is a political part of it too, because then he has to be voted back in. So my only, before we get into all the other stuff about next season, my question about basically today, why things would have changed, that's where my confusion lies that I don't have an answer to. Maybe you've heard or seen something different, but why did literally everything seem to flip yesterday? It doesn't make sense to me on a Xavi perspective of this, because he had said that he didn't want to return because of the pressure, the entorno, when they were losing and all that stuff. And now the timing seems so weird after PSG and Real Madrid, because while Barcelona didn't get absolutely blown off the pitch, like they didn't play terribly, but things didn't go their way and the results were terrible and it's a trophyless season and all that stuff. So I don't understand with the pressure of the Entorno and every reason that Xavi has been given for months as to why he's leaving, why now after that meeting he would decide to stay, especially when what we've heard is that he might have less power next season and that the board and Xavi are not on the best terms that they would have even been when he arrived now in 2021. The now is the aura is what is confusing to me.
Exactly. Loads of points made in there. I think that I'd like to rewind to the point that made Xavi resign. Unless you've lived in Barcelona for many years, I don't think you can actually understand how deep the pressure is when you're managing Barca. I mean, when Pep Guardiola joined Barca, he could have starred in any Hollywood blockbuster. When he left, he looked like Gollum from Lord of the Rings. You know, this is a place in which the pressure is insane. Everyone in the country is crazy about football. And if you're the manager or even a player, everybody you encounter throughout the city has something to say about the job you do. I actually had the privilege of bumping into Xavi, and most of the people listening to the podcast will know that I live in Qatar, in Doha. And I bumped into Xavi around the city several times, and he was just walking around. Nobody was approaching him. He was actually quite surprised, actually, that I did. In the third time I saw him, just to get a well done, you've done really well for Barca, we're really proud of everything, can I have a photo, please? But obviously going from that to being in the middle of football hell, as you can call it, not having pretty much any money to make any signings, or at least having a 5% of the money you used to have to bring, you know, the most expensive player from PSG in Ronaldinho, a player that Real Madrid would have wanted to buy at the time in Eto'o, the player that everybody at the time when Guardiola joined Barca wanted to sign, that was Dani Alves with Madrid after them, or Abidal, etc. All of those players that we managed to sign 14, 15 years ago, they are not even dreams right now. You know, our only hope to get forward is to make sure that La Masia produces players that can play at first team level. And if you think about the current team, you've got Araujo, you've got Fermin, you've got Lamine Yamal, of course. You can argue Pedri as well. You've got Gabi, and the core of the team are taking us forward, having come from the ranks. And there is no better coach in world football that is available for Barca, that is ready to work under the umbrella of austerity, Laporta as a president, and being able to sort of hold the boat afloat in terms of withstanding all of the pressures that come in every press conference, every time he goes out to pick up the kids from school, every time he goes for dinner with a wife, all of these things playing in his mind. It is quite obvious that Laporta and Deco, etc., have been playing around, have been trying to work out which managers out of all of the ones that are available and could potentially do the job, which, to be honest, there's not many, and there's no better choice than Xavi. You mentioned about the decision having been made last night. I tend to disagree slightly with that, because I think that the main point why Xavi said, you know what, I'm out, look for a new manager, let the players play, is because of that last point. Xavi saying that changed the systematic questions that he was getting on a daily basis. When are you leaving? What else do you need to do to quit? The insuficiente, all of the different sort of covers in Mundo Deportivo, Sport, obviously Marca and Us, all of those, the amount of pressure was insane at a point in the season in which something needed to turn. Now, if you don't have any money to sign anybody of enough caliber to save the team, if the president is not changing and the only thing that could have an impact was saying, you know what, I'm out. Like, let's not forget what Guardiola did way ahead of time. Enrique ended up doing way ahead of time as well. He just followed that. As to why he changed his mind, I really do think that when he quit, he said it with his mouth and not necessarily with all of his brain. I do know that, and it's obvious, that it's his dream to coach Barca. I think the moment that he announced that he was quitting, he was already thinking ahead about the next etapa, the next time in which he could go back and coach Barca again. And the response from the socios, from the press, from the team, from the players, from the whole entorno has been like, Xavi, we want you to stay. and all of that must have played in his mind. That partnered up with the who are you going to sign that can accept these conditions, which that it may have come down to 2-3 people. And at the end of the day, if it's between Rafa Márquez, with no experience at first team level at that caliber, having done a good enough season with Barça B, but, you know, I don't think it's the only person in the face of the earth that could have done that. They would have gone back to Xavi if he's supported, if he has the support of the players and he can, you know, get a pat on the back for everything that he has done and continue to bring Cubarsí and all the rest that are coming from La Masia in Barça B. If the parameters that they have shared align with his vision, then go ahead. I do believe it's the best choice we've got. In an ideal world, we will have a lot more money, a much better team, a lot more options. Jurgen Klopp would have quit Liverpool and would have straight away get Welling, Ryanair all the way down to Barcelona Airport. But that, if you think that's reality, you're living in an alternative universe. And we need to be realistic here.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Well, there is definitely a cynical part of me that feels like that this decision and this choice was made almost collectively and almost taking advantage of Xavi's love for the club, knowing that Xavi wasn't planning in leaving. He said it in today's press conference. He did not plan on taking a euro if he left the club at the end of this season. He did not plan on asking for the money from that contract extension that he recently signed to take him to the end of next year, 2025, or like the summer of 2025. And so I think the cynical aspect would be the club actually financially needed Xavi to continue on, because they weren't going to be able to necessarily sign a manager, and I mean, as in register that manager for La Liga, because that's, again, part of, while, again, they could physically afford him. I've been doing this a million times before. They could physically afford him. The club has revenue and income to, they made revenue to and income to afford him, but it's a matter of, can they actually register their first team manager with La Liga? And there might be a concern that they won't be able to do that with a Jurgen Klopp until 2025, right? That's Xavi's decision to stay had a lot to do with the club saying, hey, can you give us one final favor? Can you push through how much pressure there is for basically, in theory, one more season so that, you know, you can be a part of this? And so there have been in the last 24 hours some things that have come out about how the board would want to enhance and maybe support, you could say, but also not even undermine, but try to say, hey, Xavi, this is how we as the board would like you to try to improve your side. And so the names that have come up is like Dominic Torrent, who used to be with Pep Guardiola, his assistant for a long time, and then a first team manager himself, both in the Middle East and NYCFC under the Citigroup umbrella. And then Julio Tuss is another name that has been popped up. as a, he was under Rijkaard in 2004. He was with Laporta when he was the president as the strength physical trainer. So of course Laporta's got, hey, I've got a guy from my past. Let's bring that guy back. That's why that name makes a lot of sense to me. Same thing with Torrent, but obviously bringing in a strength physical trainer and maybe we'll say losing a little bit of faith in the, in Ricard Pruna, who is obviously phenomenal during the first, again, Laporta mandate, but now clearly there was an issue with the fitness of the club as like a big thing. Like obviously the two De Jong injuries, that was a bit fluky because those were ankle injuries that whatever can happen. But particularly when we talk about Pedri, particularly when we talk about if Ansu Fati is returning and that is the option on left wing, because there is no other money to bring in some kind of other left winger. And, you know, João Félix, if you're on the idea that you don't want to bring him back on loan or potentially buy him. Exactly. So there are big decisions to be made just on that left wing. And I've said before, this kind of brings up the bigger question about Xavi's project as well. This last week, I've kind of been stuck between two minds to say, does this team have the control necessary of a Barcelona squad? No. But did the team, when they were on that unbeaten run with Andres Christensen as the defensive midfielder, was that team good enough to basically compete right underneath the elite? But also they were in the quarterfinal of Europe, so there was only eight teams left, and they could have beat PSG, and then now they're in the semifinal. Now they're facing Dortmund, right? Now they're in the final. So there is some what-ifs to be played over the last week to say, I mean, if Barcelona had made the Champions League final, and yeah, I know obviously El Clasico, I felt like they lost that match, but also they could have won that match if, as I spent the last week talking about, any of those 50-50 decisions went their way. So I'm kind of stuck between two minds that, is Xavi the best manager for Barcelona? No, like there are issues with his game management that I have. There are improvements that I think a more or higher level quality, more experienced coach would make over the course of a season and would be able to manage those things. But you can go through the list of the players, player by player, and say, would Jules Koundé have had a better season under another manager? I don't think so. I think this is the best version of Jules Koundé we've seen. And yeah, then more importantly, to your point, the names you said. When I think back to this season, and I said this in El Clasico, I said this against PSG in these moments, and I said this against one of the other losses throughout this season too. When Lamine Yamal was the best player on the field, especially in El Clasico, he was the man of the match in El Clasico this weekend. And when I think about Lamine Yamal and Cubarsí and Fermín López and Hector Fort, and even Gabi before he got hurt, I think Xavi, if his job this season and next season is to say, hey, the future of this club is obviously to do what the club has always done. And there was a Real Madrid Twitter account I saw who had this huge, huge thing about the Galacticos, about Barcelona being hypocritical about the academy. But what Barcelona is you know this too. It's they spend huge, that being world record transfer fees, on Maradona, on Johan Cruyff, on... Now, again, the Brazilian Ronaldo was a huge number for a young player, even though he wasn't. Stoichkov, right. And Romario. So just huge numbers for big time Ronaldinho, for big time players. But it's supposed to have those big time players supplement the academy. And that has been the case. And the one thing that this Real Madrid Twitter account got wrong was that they said that Guillermo Almora was like the only one who would like actually come up from the academy. That's not true. Like I've done work on, again, between the 30s and the 70s when the club had financial issues during the dictatorship and they had one or two scouts that were just kind of pull in as many young talents off the streets as they could. And Fuste and on behind me, like the names that are come up from the academy when necessary. And right now the club is in a position where not only is it necessary financially to bring up these academy kids, but as I've said a billion times this last year, this generation is it's truly special. So to supplement Pedri and Koundé and maybe Araujo and whoever else is in that generation right now, and who knows if De Jong will be back, but getting the best out of Cubarsí, Lamine Yamal, I mean, maybe Fermín López, who knows how much better he can get, and Balde coming back, and Gabi, and then the other ones I'm naming, Hector Fort and Mark Yu. And I mentioned Guy Fernandez is one of the best attacking midfielders I have ever seen in the academy. And then you have others, Faye and another center forward in Gustavo, and Andres Cuenca, another 16-year-old center back, and Tony Fernandez, another, you know, kind of whatever winger. And then the defensive midfielder pivot of the quote-unquote future, because you know you need a big name. You need Zubimendi, or when I think of a pot of money, if there is 100 million euros coming in from Nike and Libero, whatever, and Barca do get back to 1-1 and have like 70 million to spend, you get a pivot. That's what you do. I don't care what else you do. If you have to make a big sale, you bring in a pivot. That's the one and only move you truly, truly, truly need to make this offseason. And then you fill out the rest of it with Julian Araujo coming back on loan, or, you know what I mean, or academy kids. So whether it's Pau Priem or Mark Bernal, whoever that next pivot that you're going to bring in, or even Mark Cossado, who knows, like if he's another guy to fill in at pivot as a backup next season. And then Christensen, if you keep him around, maybe he is the pivot until even January, if you can't afford somebody to January. So to me, if Xavi's continuing this plan of making sure these youngsters and this really, really good generation has a safe place to be, because that's the thing about the pressure too. Xavi has done an exceptional job of, because of his legend status, kind of falling on the sword for the players this season. I feel like the players have had less criticism than normal. Like other than when Lewandowski was in a complete valley of form or whatever, when he was really struggling, and every week I was like, God, Lewandowski got to be better. Other than that, I can't feel like this season there were certain players that I just completely attacked, because even Oro Romeu wasn't good enough. And instead of Xavi trying to play him until he tried to convince otherwise because he was a transfer, no, Xavi was like, I don't trust him at this moment either, and we've got to make something work. So it took too long, but Christensen then moving in as a defensive midfielder was rash, but it worked out and it happened. So coming into next season with all these young players, I think Xavi might be the man for that job. And that might not mean that Barcelona is in the fight for the Champions League next year. It might mean they're second in the Liga. But I do feel like Xavi might be the guy for next season's project, even if he's not for two seasons from now. And I think having that understanding might make everything work for everybody.
Yeah, I cannot really disagree with anything what you said in there, to be honest. I'm just going to say something that is somehow linked, but I think it really plays into why this season, one of the factors why this season was what it was, and why the beginning of next season may be pretty similar. And is that going up to Montjuic really, really sucks. Mm-hmm. It's not the Camp Nou, it's nowhere near, it's on top of the hill, and you know the Camp Nou socios, the regulars, that the ticket holders that have been going there for 20, 30 years, they, in their minds, they've already sort of written off the 20 months that we're going to be away from the Camp Nou. It is not a place in which we feel it's home. It is a place in which, you know, we used to make fun, and to be honest, we still do today, make fun of Espanyol fans for having had to go there while the stadium in Sarriá was demolished. And it is a place that's never going to feel like home. So going into this season, I already knew that it was going to be really difficult for the team to connect. And that's why, obviously, having, I think it's 40,000 less people being able to go to the stadium than they used to be. And to be honest, the vast majority of them, I would say a good 25 to 30, not majority, but a significant number, 25 to 30 to 35% of fans in every single home game being foreign visitors, which is lovely. I'm not complaining about that, of course. I don't think brings the same atmosphere that the Camp Nou has traditionally done. Another switch that I was seeing the last 3-4 years in the Camp Nou as well is that the newer generation of the 1990s, early 2000s, Abbeys, the grandpas that used to go to the stadium, those carnets, those tickets have been passed on to the younger generation. So I think that having Xavi, even last season or two seasons ago, it was more about, okay, we are going to go into a transition and we need someone that's going to be the standarte, that's going to be the beacon of what it means to be Barca. And out of all the candidates you mentioned, nobody can get to the top of Xavi's sandals, you know, in terms of being Barca. He's Barca through and through. He's got the credit as a player that will never, ever be eroded, not even one little millisecond. What he's doing for the club these last two seasons is, as you've mentioned as well, an act of Barcelonismo, an act of being a Barca fan. And most of the people would have already said, you know what, you don't have any money for me. I have been criticized despite doing a fairly good job, not being sort of unselfish, not thinking about the here and now, but actually promoting from within. Most people would have said, you know what, stuff you, I'm off. But he hasn't done that. And I think that his decision to stay a further year, pretty much knowing, I don't know if this is true, but I'm just assuming here, sort of knowing that, yes, he may have an expiry date on his contract. Once it's over, perhaps he's not going to be renewed again. There's a risk, if you don't have the players for succeeding, that next season could be even worse. Who knows? Right. I think that's not a very appealing cake for anyone to want to bite into. And we need to be grateful for Xavi for enduring it, wanting to stay. And to be honest, if he continues to promote players from within, gives hopefully Pedri gets, you know, all of his injuries behind, Gavi comes back, Kubarsi and Lamine continue to grow, who knows in 2 years' time. But that travesía del desierto, like that journey in the desert, someone needs to walk it. And I really don't see anyone better than Xavi to do that.
Yeah, I want to turn that on the, not critics of Xavi, but critics on Xavi returning. Because, again, I'm in agreement. And it's funny because Xavi's in agreement with you, too, that Xavi was going to leave. So the idea that Xavi is not the right man for Barcelona in the future is something that he himself agrees with. And the board has asked him to return. So if anything, the pressure is in theory on the board, because their job was to fix the problems, was to fix all the Bartomeu and COVID and all the issues, was to fix all those problems, right? And so Xavi is, not to say he's not without scrutiny, because when he makes mistakes, and this is how I've been on the match reviews of five headlines all year, when he makes mistakes or I disagree with something he does, I say that. And I've said that, like, this season, two of my big things is that A, his, we'll say, reverence on the touchline needs to improve. Like, he cannot get himself red carded. And then part two of that is that, yes, I would hope that Xavi continues to gain experience and to learn from the mistakes of this season, right? And to try to create a team that can have some, even without a pivot. Like, that's not to say, like, that's an excuse, because I make that excuse for him, but it's also not fully an excuse. You need to be able to have some modicum of control even without a pivot. And if that means that Xavi, you've got to sit down with De Jong and say, hey, buddy, like, I thought I was leaving, but it's actually going to be you you got to convince, hey, De Jong, if you really love this club, you got to do the opposite that I did, because the club needs you to go, right? And I know that's a difficult thing. And with his contract this coming season, it's hard for him to go. But if that's what is the best for the club and Xavi needs to have that conversation with De Jong, they tried to force him out now twice before, but he's also now 2 years far along in that contract. So things might be a little bit easier now. Again, he just had a baby, but and I'm not saying throw any of these players out, but clearly there's something that this club fully, with the group that it has, the squad that it has, if they don't have the money to bring in somebody else, then no, like the amount of control they have and the ceiling of this team as it's constructed feels like at times that it hits its ceiling, that the young players are going to get better through time, hopefully. And if Pedri stays healthy, that's huge. When Gavi comes back, that's huge. Great. Yes. Again, Kubarsi, Lamine Yamal getting better. Sure. But I think everyone, Xavi included, does agree that this season, to your point, could go worse next year. And things could go backwards, right? And what's that going to mean for the club and all that stuff? But I said, the silver lining of what I try to flip on, again, the naysayers, not only for Xavi, but of the project, but it's like, yeah, I mean, this might be a tough pill to swallow. So you can't scream from the mountaintops that this club is, they keep telling you financially what the situation is. You can't keep ignoring this huge shadow when you watch a match against whoever, right? You watch a match against a bottom half team, like, I don't know, what, throw a name out, whatever the club is, Almeria, whatever, like from last season. You play against an Almeria club or whatever, whoever comes up, or Levante when they come back up next season, and you play against them and 52 possession Barcelona and the chances are like 9-6 on goal and the score winds up being 1-1. And you complain about that match and go, why is Barcelona doing that? And that, all that frustration. But you kind of become a prisoner of the moment in these matches. And this is what I think doing the five headlines does for me, where I become a prisoner of the moment in 90 minutes. And then when you watch matches, you're forgetting, oh, wait, this club cannot financially, they can barely register players. They can barely register Vitor Roque for next season. And so you wind up keep forgetting that Barcelona as a club are the prisoner of the moment they're in financially right now. When you watch a match, you watch PSG and say, Barcelona could have won that match, so why didn't they? Barcelona played as well as Real Madrid, but they lost that match anyway. Why is that, right? And you become a prisoner of that moment instead of saying, Real Madrid in the boardroom, they have a billionaire who's pulling all the strings, and they have all this money because they actually are in their new stadium. They have all this revenue and all of this more money than Barcelona. So for all the things that are laid out as to why Real Madrid should have advantage, the fact that it needed a stoppage time goal for them to beat Barcelona tells you that the football is played on the field. And right. And so that's all the stuff that I just want to turn it on the negative, the naysayers, because it's like, yes, the club is financially trying to heal. And Xavi is the one, to that point, taking on the mantle of kind of just, taking his lumps and saying, yeah, the club is sick right now, and I'm just going to kind of be the caretaker until the club can be a bit healthier. So that's my full-throated defense of Xavi and saying that he deserves scrutiny, yes, from match to match, and I will critique him match to match, but in the macro sense, he might be the best man for the job next season, and that's why he has my full support.
Yeah, let me jump in there as well. To me, there's 2 points. The first one is pretty obvious. I say it pretty much every time I come in. The only way to get people to like you or repost you or whatever on Twitter is to say some nonsense. So people that have got so many strong opinions about every single thing, they're just doing it for likes. So
I need to write this down. I've never really taken this lesson.
Fred. No, no one ever knew that. This is new to everybody.
No, I need to write it down.
Number two is that if you think that Barca, with all the palancas that we've had to have over the last 2 years to be able to sign Oriol Romeu for 4 million euros, which is what we did last summer, if you think that a team like that can compete with Real Madrid and PSG and name anybody in the Premiership, even Bayern Munich as well, then you're quite delusional. If you're living in Barca 2003, Ronaldinho times, then you're also delusional. You need to be realistic. I think that the expectation for Barca at this moment in time needs to be competing for La Liga with Atletico and Madrid, both the three of them. Any one of them could win La Liga. I think it's pretty obvious that the ones with the best financial muscle have been for many years now, too many, have been Real Madrid. So obviously they've got the edge. And in Europe, I mean, once it gets to the later stages, as you mentioned, there's going to be little details that are going to take you through to the semifinals or the final. But at the end of the day, competing against Manchester City with all the money they have, with the manager they I'm not going to say they have, I'm going to say they pay, right? Because all of this is balanced as well, you know? Guardiola doesn't work for free. Jurgen Klopp doesn't work for free. Mourinho, once upon a time, didn't work for free either. So if you want to be challenging for the top of the Champions League, then you need to invest. We know from PSG, hopefully they don't win it again this year, but you know from PSG, just putting all the money into the club doesn't necessarily guarantee success. So
even Man City, I know some of the fans, they were out in the Champions League quarterfinal as well. I mean, both clubs, both Barcelona and Man City are out at the same juncture. If it's full-throated because of how Barcelona lost that Champions League match against PSG, and you're like, well, no, Man City and Real Madrid, that tie was played at a higher level, right? And Barcelona just bottled it or whatever. But, like, I mean, they were at the same spot. The Champions League is about your matchup. It's about a little bit of luck. So, I mean, who knows? Like,
That's it. But when you've got that amount of money, you're not guaranteed, but it's really likely you're going to reach a goal in which you're flipping a coin, and obviously you need to play better than the other, you need to want him more, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, it comes to that shot hitting the post, or that referee not checking VAR, or that counterattack that the center mid didn't press quickly enough or effectively enough. It comes to those details. And those details, I think that the balance is the experience, the balance is the motivation. It's also the work that's going on behind the scenes. And at that level, it could go either way, but it's most normal that it goes to the players, the manager, the club that has the best infrastructure. But what I'm saying is that Barca, the target, given the finances at the moment, don't worry about the history before, because you're only as good as your last gig. Reaching the top 8 in the Champions League, that's the target. And reaching the top 2 in La Liga, that has to be the target. Anyone
who thinks
the target is winning La Liga, it can be. You need to be there until the last 2-3 matches and then win it. Obviously, below expectations this year, because it's clear Madrid's going to win it, and we're out of the Champions League early on as well. But if you think that it's going to be triplete every season, you're living in 2011.
Yeah, I would say for next season, that's true. That if you're competing for the Liga, and let's say Barcelona do somehow find a way to win the Liga, it's about consistency and a little bit of luck as well there. But let's say Barcelona do win the Liga, then Xavi winds up, or even any trophy, if they win the Copa del Rey next season, right? Then Xavi in 3.5 seasons in this really, really down period where financially they were in trouble and Real Madrid had all this financial might, will remember this era as, well, Xavi still somehow managed to get, you know, a La Liga title at least, and then maybe, you know, again, 2 La Liga titles, that'd be amazing, sure. But yeah, what are the expectations for next season, regardless of the manager? I think with the squad that Real Madrid will have and the one that Barcelona will have, I mean, unfortunately, yeah, that's what it is. It's financial metal that any manager for Barcelona is going to have an uphill battle next year.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Sorry to cut you out here. I know we don't normally do this, but what do you remember about the Koeman years?
Yeah, as in, like, how do I mark that era?
Yeah, what do you remember? First thing that springs to mind.
Geez, I remember some of those front lines with Abde and Jutla, and I just remember when I'm looking at my 11s, I mean, that's how I remember it. I look back and I go, ooh. Well, I mean, the way I remember the Koeman years is that Messi was there, and then Messi was gone because of naivety from the club. And I mean, really, just this club, he was the manager, a former legend, who kind of had to take the club through a very dramatic period, which is the greatest player of all time left your club while you were the manager and people hated you. So was Koeman the best manager? No. Tactically, I did not love Koeman as manager, but I remember him as the man that was there when all of this terrible things happened. And again, yeah. I want to hope I remember this.
Also, Araujo joined the team. Pedri started playing. Ricky Puig did as well. That didn't go well. Ansu got injured, but Ansu could have been dominating. Mm-hmm. And then Gavi sort of getting his first chances as well. So that's what we'll remember. This, Rijkaard gave the chance to Iniesta all those years ago. Koeman got Pedri. Xavi, Kubarsi, Lamin. So that's what we're going to earn. That's what we're going to gain as the years go by. Trophies come and go. I mean, if you are really, really cynical about the whole thing, Xavi's won 50% of the ligas that he's been part of. Mm-hmm. So far, to date, he has. So the titles mean something at the time and they're part of history. But for Culés, it's about which potential idols, which great players sort of are born in every tenure of every manager. And Xavi is doing a great job of nurturing those talents that could hopefully, maybe in the later Xavi years, maybe someone and a different manager joins us in a year or two. Who knows? But it's putting the foundation for the growth that will enable us to be successful, even without the budget.
I mean, yes, the only big risk, obviously, is that, I mean, if you had told me when Ernesto Valverde first called up Ansu Fati, I'm like, this kid's guaranteed. Let's mark him in 10 years from, and the club gave him the number 10 shirt and the money was there. Same thing with Pedri. When I saw those kids, I'm like, these kids are going to be a part of it the way that Xavi and, I mean, Iniesta, Xavi, Messi, even. It wasn't guaranteed at all times, but it wound up working out. So you never know. I mean, and then Gabi, how will we return from his ACL, things like that. So for Lamine Yamal and Kubarsi, they're so young. Now remember, they're 4 years away from being 21 and 20 years old. Like, that's how young they are. They're 4 years away from that, or now 3 years or 3.5 years, whatever. So a lot can happen, unfortunately. And progression is not linear. I always say that. Like, progression is not linear. Things will always have to work out. But Barcelona now with this, as I said, with this generation, they have so many, what's the metaphor? What's the phrase? But they have so many opportunities to pick an apple. I don't know. The metaphor is lost on me because it's an emergency podcast, whatever it is.
That's what you're trying to say.
Bites at the apple? Is that what the metaphor is? Whatever it is.
Vegetarians.
So they have so many chances at grabbing different vegetables, whatever it is. But you give yourself as many opportunities for, is this next young player going to be the guy? Because again, Gabi and Pedri, both the young player the golden boy, and Balde was, I mean, as much as people criticized him, was the best 20-year-old left back in world football when. At least last season. This season, he not as great. Then he got injured. But, I mean, yes, he's one of the highest potential left-back prospects in world football still, if he's able to come back healthy. So there is something, there is this world as well, as negative as you can be. There is this world where these young talents and players stay healthy. And next season, is fine. Like, next season meets the expectations of what the club can do. And I said, financially, hey, if 70 million euros pop up and you can spend that on just one player, grab a pivot. And then I'll criticize Xavi, because now I think he has actually what he needs to take this club to the next level as well. I mean, you have Vitor Roque as well. You brought in Vitor Roque to score some goals to supplement Lewandowski next season. So you have your future contingency plan there as well. Mark, you or Vitor Roque, one of those two you hope is going to pop to bring in 10 goals next season. And again, Fermín López is on pace for, he's got 7 now. He's on pace for like 8 goals. And where was that going to come from? So there is this path forward next season where it's not so bad as well because of the squad is constructed, where you're one or two pieces away. So I'm going to try to be optimistic. And I think social media, don't let social media remind you that the sky is falling and everything is terrible. Like, things are okay. Like, Barcelona, yes, this last week was terrible, but this last week was terrible because Barcelona is this close. And if you had told me with the finances and the squad and Xavi leaving that Barcelona can be this close to that kind of week and it's going to be this painful, I would have said, actually, believe it or not, I'll take that. I will take, like, heartbreak in the quarterfinal of Champions League with a path to the final. And, I mean, La Liga was kind of gone, sure, but I can look back to the Villarreal result and, like, 2 or 3 other results and say, hey, Barcelona was honestly, like, 15 good minutes this season away from actually contending for La Liga. And 4 or 5 moments go the opposite way, and Barcelona are right there. So as negative as it feels like all the time we should be, maybe you don't have to be so negative all the time. Things going to be okay.
Yeah, things would be a lot better if Madrid don't win the Champions League.
Yeah, better. Sure. Yeah. of course.
That changes perception, because if you get knocked out of a competition that Madrid ends up winning, and it's the, I don't know which one it is, 16th would be, that would be horrendous. So cheering for Dortmund and whoever else is left as much as I can.
Well, yeah, because then you got to decide between PSG and Real Madrid in the final potentially, which is... yeah, that's kind of the, I've never really skipped Champions League finals, but yeah, maybe. Maybe you do.
I watch it like this. Throw it.
Yeah, yeah.
Green. Yeah.
All right, Frances. Well, it was wonderful to have you. Thank you for helping me get through this emergency podcast. I think we did our job. So yeah, thanks as always. That's it. So we'll do what you can do, because he's on. Usually this is the point I'm stuttering here, because this is the point where I tell my guests to plug their stuff on social media. But Frances on social media is not there, so not follow. Exist. He does not exist.
I have real friends. I don't have to shout at people online.
Yeah, sure. So
bites me, and you can get rid of me by just pressing the button. So that's all good. Honestly, it's liberating. Do continue to follow the podcast, but it really is liberating to be able to just come home and not have anything to check. It's pretty
great.
Good.
Great. So follow everything that he started, which is at the Barcelona Pod on what was formerly Twitter. And of course, that's on Instagram. And then Patreons, as I always say, I really appreciate these last few weeks. A lot of people in the last month signed up because to Frances's good advice, all I had to do was kind of let you know that this is how I keep making these shows. So Patreons, as you see on the YouTube, thank you so much for joining. And then close Facebook group, Discord, that's how we keep making the shows. And of course, subscribing to the YouTube channel as well as, and by the way, I know people seeking positivity want to hear special announcements. Last month in March, we hit 100,000 views on YouTube for the first time ever. This month, we're on pace for like 115,000. So to that point, that is what helps me go and send those emails to sponsors and kind of beef this up even more and be able to pay my guests and things like that. So I know we've been around for 7 years now. And Frances, you've known him for 7 years. You know me for seven
more than,
years.
More you than me, mate. You've kept it going.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I've been around a long time, but growth is still possible. You know, even very much like Xavi. Just because it feels like the end doesn't mean it has to be. So I appreciate everyone always for their support. Most importantly, though, thanks at least just for free listening to the show. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. Forza Barça.
Forza Barça.